You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Believing is Seeing, Part 5. Today, I'll wrap up this mini-series of podcasts on the subject of human vision. So far, I've tried to illustrate for you just how simultaneously amazing and unreliable your eyes and brain are at doing this job. Today, I'll begin by describing a very cool and slightly creepy aspect of human vision called blind sight. Let me set this up. Some unfortunate people, due to injury or illness, sustain damage to the part of the brain called V1, also known as the primary visual cortex. This, sadly, results in blindness, despite the fact that the person's eyes function perfectly well. This condition is called cortical blindness. This happens much more often to only one side of the visual cortex, in which case it only blanks out the field of vision of the opposite eye. You see, the right side of your visual cortex processes visual input from your left eye, and vice versa. In a few cases, the person is unfortunate enough to have experienced something that is statistically rare. That is, two separate brain injuries, one on each side, leaving them cortically blind in both eyes. Many of both kinds of people exhibit an astonishing ability called blind sight. Blind sight is the ability to respond to visual stimuli without being consciously aware of perceiving them. Did you get that? The individual with blind sight responds to visual stimuli, but has no conscious awareness of having seen them. Think about that. For example, people with blind sight might blink if you were to suddenly move your hand towards their eyes. When asked why they had blinked, they will either not realize that they had done so, or say that they felt the need to blink. When further asked if they had seen the hand coming towards their eyes, they consistently insist that they did not. After all, they might say, "I can't see at all. I'm blind." When pressed on this point and asked how they knew the hand was coming, they frequently respond with something like, "I don't know, I just had a feeling that I needed to blink." There's a video on YouTube of a cortically blind man walking down a hallway in which obstacles have been placed. The man slowly and carefully steps around or over the obstacles and continues down the hallway. When queried about how he had done this, he responded in a very similar fashion. He was responding to what he felt and had no conscious awareness of having seen. What is the source of this ability? Is the cortically blind person tapping into some form of energy like chi or the force? Well, I think you all know my answer to that. We've all heard the old trope that when someone loses one sense, their other senses become stronger to compensate. This has actually been demonstrated to not quite be true. What is true is that your brain, which possesses amazing plasticity, does its best to adapt to the new situation. In many cases, the individual simply pays more attention than he had before to information coming in from his remaining senses. Research continues apace, but there are several plausible hypotheses regarding the mechanism behind blind sight, all of which involve other areas of your brain processing the visual input. In the case of blind sight, the information is not presented to your conscious mind as a visual picture, but instead comes as a feeling that you need to blink, or that you need to step to the right. One hypothesis states that this alternative processing site in the brain is a holdover from an earlier stage of our evolution, when visual processing was done there alone. You see, we mammals do visual processing in a different part of our brain than do fish, reptiles, amphibians, etc. This hypothesis further stipulates that blindsight is not a newly developed ability in the unfortunate few who are cortically blind, but instead reveals an ability common to all of us. For example, have you ever had that hair standing up on the back of your neck feeling that someone is watching you, despite the fact that you see no one? Were you feeling a disturbance in the force? Had you cultivated your chi so intensely that you could sense the scrutiny of others? Well, coming back to the real world, this experience could be a result of that alternative visual processing center in your brain giving you a feeling rather than showing you a picture. This is yet another example of science providing a plausible explanation for a phenomenon which in the past was explained away by appealing to the supernatural. While all the data are not yet in, I find the phenomenon of blindsight fascinating. The fact that we who can see do see so well is amazing, considering the complexity of the system. On the other hand, we sometimes trust what we thought we saw way too much. It's important to always remember that what you see is actually a picture that was assembled by your brain. When the visual information is incomplete or confusing, your brain uses what it knows to guess how to fill in the missing details. We have all, at one time or another, said something like, "I could swear that I saw blank," with blank being whatever you thought you saw. Based on what we now know, you probably did see blank, even if it wasn't really there. In similar conversations, we may have angrily retorted to someone, "I wasn't imagining it." It's very important to understand here that I'm not talking about someone who imagines that they see something. In a very real way, your conscious mind, your personality, is not completely responsible for what your brain does when it is processing visual information. For example, there was a famous incident during World War II called the Battle of Los Angeles. This event happened in early 1942, less than 3 months after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Rumors of an impending Japanese invasion of the west coast of the United States abounded, creating an atmosphere of terror. These fears were ratcheted up to a fever pitch when on February 23rd, a Japanese submarine surfaced near the town of Elwood, California, and fired a few dozen rounds from its 5-inch gun at an oil storage facility. At about 1 a.m. the next day, there was a routine launching of a weather balloon near Los Angeles. It's not known for certain if the weather balloon was the cause. But about that same time, anti-aircraft batteries in Los Angeles began firing into the night sky. Panic spread quickly, and other anti-aircraft batteries joined in. By the time the firing stopped, over 1,400 rounds had been expended. Many of the gunners swore that they had seen Japanese airplanes, yet there were none to see. Did tens of dozens of anti-aircraft gunners simultaneously imagine that they saw Japanese bombers in the sky? Or did they really, quote, see, unquote, Japanese bombers in the sky, despite the fact that they were not there? Based on what we now know about how the brain constructs your perception of reality, phrases like "you imagined it" may be rejected as overly simplistic, and perhaps better left behind in the dustbin of history. This being a skeptical podcast, I also feel compelled to insert a quirky note here. There is a popular conspiracy theory that what actually triggered, so to speak, the anti-aircraft barrages during the Battle of Los Angeles was the appearance of an alien spacecraft. Of course, the conspiracy theory also claims that the government has gone to great lengths to cover up this incident. The jokes write themselves. Your brain is very good at filling in the picture when you want or fear to see something. When you could swear that you saw the magician throw the red ball from one of his hands to the other, it's highly likely that you did see it, despite the fact that he had actually palmed the ball and it was still in the original throwing hand. I've experienced this in the martial arts. When facing very high-level fighters, I often have thought I saw a fully performed technique thrown at me, then experienced a brief instant of pride at my ability to see and react to this lightning attack, and later realized, to my chagrin, that it was actually a feint just before or as I was eating the follow-up attack. How much of what I saw was real, and how much was constructed by my brain in a desperate attempt to help me cope with this hyper-competent opponent? The brain's ability to fill in the details is why optical illusions work so well on us. A graphic layout that is cleverly and precisely designed to confuse your brain, which must dutifully try to make sense of what it is seeing, constitutes the optical illusion. The result is what your brain constructs in trying to make sense of the picture. An audio podcast is not an appropriate format to spend time discussing them, but you should really go online and look at some optical illusions if you've not seen them before. Intense fear, hope, or confusion have caused many of us to see things that are not there. Every single human being, no matter their level of education or training, is susceptible to mistakes of perception. It's a common trope among people who strongly believe in Bigfoot, alien visitors, ghosts, etc., to cite events that occurred to trained observers, like airline pilots, police officers, government agents, and military officers, as if their training exempts them from doubt and has made them immune to the flaws of human perception. But we all make mistakes of perception. It is the consensus of brain scientists, based on what we now know, that eyewitness testimony should be given far less weight than it currently is in our justice system. There's an old joke about a woman who walks in on her husband and catches him in flagrante delicto with another woman. The punchline happens when the man turns to his wife and boldly asks, "What are you going to believe, the story I tell you or your own lying eyes?" While this joke is funny when properly told, it does contain a small kernel of truth, although not a kernel large enough to save this philandering fool. Your eyes do sometimes lie to you. I hope I've done some small part to help you better understand the system that allows you to see, to appreciate it while still understanding not to trust it without reservation. It is indeed the case that seeing should not always be believing, and that believing sometimes leads to seeing. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.